So week two of our Easter studies, and this week it's Bishop Bev, the Bishop of Warrington, and it's the Low Sunday Talk.
Friends, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, alleluia. I hope so much that this has been a good Easter for you and you've been able to make the connections you've needed to make in order to make this a good Easter. As we continue to recall the extraordinary events around the resurrection of Jesus and to celebrate and give thanks to God for Jesus and the difference he's made to the world, to your life and to mine, I think it's easy for us to forget just how challenging the resurrection was for those first disciples. You know, they couldn't get their head around it. As far as they were concerned, Jesus had died. He'd been crucified, a most terrible of deaths, and that was the end of him. And the dream, he'd one day be established as the Messiah. Do you remember when Jesus was before Pontius Pilate and Pilate asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus responds, "My kingdom is not of this world." What did any of this mean? Did anybody really understand? The disciples, of course, were devastated. They were undoubtedly in shock, grieving for the man they loved and had chosen to follow. And the dream, the vision he was casting. His death was like the snuffing out of a candle. He was gone. It was over. In the Bible reading from St. Luke chapter 24 and following, what happens is really very funny when you look at it from the outside looking in. We find ourselves in a room in Jerusalem with the 11 disciples and their companions. They've been joined by Cleopas and his companion, who you'll remember encountered Jesus on their way to Emmaus. And in their recognition of Jesus, they reorientate and return to the place Jesus needed them to be. That is Jerusalem. Remember, it's from Jerusalem where Jesus will meet them, teach them, and at Pentecost, he'll anoint them as church leaders to go tell the world of all they've learned from him and to grow disciples and to build the church. So the disciples are in this room, they're hunkered in, and they've shared stories of how both Peter and Cleopas have encountered the risen Lord. Can you imagine yourself hearing those stories? I can imagine others in the room were all thinking, why them? Why not me? What I want to see Jesus. I want to hear him and touch him and hold him. But do they really believe what they're hearing is true? The story is beyond belief. And so what happens next is that Jesus himself appears in the room. Well, we're told the disciples were startled and terrified. They thought they'd seen a ghost. Now remember, these are the great, courageous, wonderful, heroic saints from whom we build our foundation stones as Christians. These were really ordinary people, like you and me, in their belief and in their unbelief. Jesus sees them and he knows them. And he tries to allay their fears. "Don't be afraid," he says. "I'm not a ghost." In fact, he goes on to ask for food and he invites them to see and touch his wounds. He's really real. He's unfleshed. He is the resurrection. Do you ever find yourself thinking, if you had a time machine, there are certain times and places which you'd really love to go back to. I would love to go back to the room at this time and listen to and receive the teaching of Jesus the resurrection as he's endeavouring to illuminate the understanding of his disciples. Jesus says this to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." You know, Jesus doesn't manufacture or manipulate situations working to his end to appear as though he's something he's not. Not at all. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the prophets and poets had written about concerning him. And Jesus goes on to say this to them. It is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. To this cowering group of people who are fearful that the authorities might be coming for them next, and who have no confidence in themselves, in their ability, in their articulation, Jesus says, "You are my witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." And they do, and they are. And here's the thing. These life-giving, life-changing words of the disciples are for disciples of every generation. They're for you and for me. We are all witnesses of these things. Jesus, the great I Am, sends and continue to send upon you and me what the Father has promised. That is the Holy Spirit who clothes us with power from on high. The disciples would never have had the confidence to step out and speak up without the clothing of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Liverpool, our rule of life gives us a framework to live out our discipleship. We attend to our inner life and well-being by praying, reading, and reading the Bible and learning. And we grow in our faith. We grow in our lived out faith by telling, serving, and giving. To be effective disciples in the kingdom of God, Jesus tells us to tell others. Now, it seems to me often the telling is what we Christians find really hard to do. But it shouldn't be that hard, really, should it? Not if we're telling people about the difference Jesus has made in our life, or how Jesus has answered prayer, or given us strength when we've been buckling. There have been many times I've been able to say to people who were in a mess that it doesn't have to be like that, and that Jesus wipes the slate clean. There are so many people who need and long to hear these words, that they can start again and be given a new dignity and called by a new name. There's a wonderful hymn that's one of our favourites, and it's about the Magnificat, Mary's song to God. And it begins, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord." Friends, as your bishop, I challenge you to tell out and don't give up on it. If you're going to meet in a Zoom or Facebook gathering after this service, or maybe with your family over lunch, I'd like to pose a question for you to consider. If Jesus were to appear to you right now and say to you, "In this hurting and disoriented world, I need you to tell others about me, so that they'll know me as their God and their friend, as well as their Saviour," what are the kind of conversations you might start up with people? What are the things you could say? And to whom and when? What would it look like? And friends, if you have stories to share and you want to share them and they're not confidential, then email me. Share with me some of your stories of telling. And in the meantime, God bless you and keep you safe. And God strengthen your faith and give to you a new song that sings of his love. A song that can be heard by your ear of faith and by the ear of faith of others. Go well, and God bless.